for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, December the 25th, 2008. Dale Copeland is the speaker of the evening, teaching on You Can Trust God.
Brother Dale, come and minister the word of the Lord this evening for the kingdom and for the glory of God.
We'll say it's an honor and privilege to be here. It's been not quite a year, I don't think, since I was here last, but I want to give honor to Brother Glenn and you who keep this place going. I know that it's such a joy to me as I travel. Don't travel as much as I used to. Used to travel approximately 90,000 miles a year. And but anyway, as I travel around from one place to the other and minister, it was always good to, when you come back to a place, to see some people that's faithful, you know, that's still there, not just keeping the lights on and the fires burning, but some people who were progressing in the Lord. And it takes more than just a 100-yard dash to make this work. This is life, you know. To make a place like this work, or even a local assembly, it's not a 6-month commitment or a year or two. It's, you know, we're in this for the duration. And I'm not interested in seeing something get so big that, like a lot, and I'm not against that's other people's business, a place get great big, but if it ever gets very big, well, I like to see the kingdom of God grow. I like to start a plant over here, not just have one tomato plant that's got 1,000 tomatoes on it and brag about that plant, but take that and plant a whole bunch of plants in the garden. You know, to me, the whole thing about the kingdom of God is its duplication. The Bible said the kingdom of God is like it's like a seed, and it fills the whole earth. It grows and it continues to expand and things. God's not interested in just one place getting great big, but He's interested in seeing you take what you've received here and you plant all over this country, all over the nation, all over the world. You take what you've received and you multiply that. God's after a maximum duplication, isn't He? Maximum multiplication. And there's some that ask that I say a little bit about what's been happening to me. And if you don't know me, and probably if you do, you probably can't look at me and see anything's happened to me, but about a month ago, I had a stroke. I was bleeding in the brain stem. And we're in the process of building a family camp about 3 hours from here. And we had purchased some mobile home classrooms that had been built for the technology center. And they were finished with them, and we had purchased some of them for temporary dormitory space, and I was working underneath them, screwing everything up so that when we drove them down or pulled them down the road, it wouldn't be flopping, the insulation wouldn't be flopping out and stuff. And I had worked for about 4 hours under them, I guess, and it was getting dark, just about, I needed to quit. Didn't lack about 5 minutes, but I thought, I'll do it when I get back, when we hook on to them, I'll just do that. But I was laying under one of the mobile homes, and I felt a tingle in my left hand. And I had been on a diet, and but I hadn't ate since that morning. And so I thought, well, maybe it's because of a lack of sugar or something in my body. I didn't know. Never had it before, but I just know, you know, something was going on. And so, anyway, well, I thought, well, I'll get out of here and get to the truck around on the other side of the wind was blowing, and it was about 30 degrees out there. And I thought, I'll get over there and I'll get me some. I had some V8 juice in the truck, and I thought, I'll get over there and get me some of that and everything be all right. Well, the time I got out, it was a thumb up my arm. And I knew something was going on, but I just didn't know what was going on. And so I started walking around the trailer. I had to walk the length of it just about. By the time I got to the front of the trailer, well, it was up my shoulder and up the side of my head and going down my leg. Make a long story short, before I got from here to the wall back there from the pickup, well, things was getting kind of rough, you know, and anyway, I began to speak to my body and tell it in Jesus' name it would respond to the Word of God that I didn't know what was wrong, but I was going to make it to the truck. You know, it never entered my mind, stroke or anything like that. I didn't know what was wrong. But when I got about 25 foot from the truck, well, my equilibrium began to get off a little bit, and so I was wandering away from the truck. But I could tell I was wandering away from it, and so I began to speak, "You will, in Jesus' name, you will make it to the truck." And I did, and put my tools up and everything else before I even got in the truck. But by then, well, I got my wife on the phone and told her, I said, "Something's happening to me. I don't know what it is, but I need you here now." Well, she was 25 miles away. Not long after that, I began to lose all of my equilibrium, and I didn't know where up was. My head didn't know where up was. I pick up my hand, it hit me in the face, you know, and felt like it was just no weight at all. And pick up my left leg and had to kick the dash of the truck. And so here my head was flopping around, my hand was flying around and things, and I couldn't control anything. And I'll tell you something, I've always taught this, you don't ever try to play, it's hard to play catch up. You better walk with God every day. Every day. Because when you're in the heat of it, you may not have time to catch up. You know, that's not the time to try to draw near to the Lord. I've always said it like this. When somebody's beating down your door, you don't run and grab the barbell and start saying, "I'm going to get strong so I can meet them." No, it's too late now. You know, you should have been working out before. And so, anyway, well, there's a lady pulled in and she pulled out of this parking lot. The whole parking lot was empty except for two vehicles. And I seen her get in one, and she was quite a ways away. And so I kept working, trying to get where I could get my lights flashed at her. And so I finally did. And she pulled over there quite a ways away from me because this idiot's in this truck, you know. And she could barely see because it was getting pretty dark. But anyway, my head was flopping around. My arm was flopping around. And I'm waving at her with this arm, you know, and begin to try to, finally, to make a long story short, she called the ambulance and the police, and they showed up, and they life-flighted me to Tulsa, and which is a story in itself, the life-flight. It took them over 2 hours to get me there. Had to stop and get fuel. They come empty with fuel, and so they missed the 3 hour window for strokes. Anyway, you know, but you just seen a miracle standing here because the doctor, when they got me there, well, he just sat there and looked. He said, there's nothing we can do for you. And after they put me in the MRI and scanned me and things, and they said, you've had a stroke from bleeding in the brain stem, and there's nothing we can do for you. Do you have a living will? Because this is fatal. And he said, this is either fatal or you will be paralyzed. He said, I'm not going to pull any punches with you. You got this. It's two things that happen here. Well, so they just sat there and watched me, you know, watch me, because they was expecting me to die or become paralyzed from the neck down. And he said, become a vegetable, I think is the way he said it. But anyway, well, I said, no. I said, I pointed at my wife, said, she's my living will. And but I'll tell you right now, I said, don't put me on life support. If something does, I mean, I'm sitting here just like I'm standing right now. That's how I feel. I feel perfectly fine. Things is pretty much over in that sense. And but anyway, well, he's sitting there waiting for me to die, you know. And I told him, I said, I'm not afraid to die. All is well. If, you know, if that be what takes place, do not keep me alive by life support. Let it go. And but otherwise, I said, if you can do anything to help me, you can, you know, do that. Well, 8 hours later, because they didn't get in a hurry to give me a room, because I wasn't supposed to be able to get to one, see. And 8 hours later, well, they sent me to ICU. And the nurse, when she opened the door, she pointed at me and said, you're a miracle. She said, you're the first person that's ever been, and this is a big hospital, it's the best hospital in Tulsa. She said, you're the first person that's ever been on the ICU floor that's had bleeding in the brainstem. Said, everybody else goes up there, they're either paralyzed or they're dead. You're the first one that's ever been here. And so I said, well, I'm thankful I'm here. You know, I couldn't tell anything was wrong until I got ready to try to move my left side. My left side just wouldn't hardly move. Couldn't hardly, by then I couldn't pick my leg up, and everything felt like it was just blowed up. And so I'm standing before you now. I tell you, it's my destiny to be fully restored. I've got two fingers here that feels like they're about that big around right now. And when I touch them, they feel like you hit your crazy bone. You ever hit your crazy bone and how it tingles? That's how it feels on my arm. And I feel like there's about 20, 30 pound weight on my left arm. And I have to, you have to work to get it up. And the same way on my left leg is that way, and feels like the sole of my foot's about that thick. So sometimes I kind of stumble around because my foot feels like it's 2 inches taller than this leg. And but a couple Sundays ago, after I had come home, I come home walking on a cane, but after about 2 days, the Lord blessed me enough in that way and restored me to where I haven't used it since. And but anyway, well, I don't remember what I was going to say. Anyway, I'm recovering. They said I wouldn't. I sat in front of the doctor right before they sent me home. And, you know, after 11 IVs later, and, oh, blood pressure took every 15 minutes for I don't know how many days, pumping up 200 pounds, made my arms so sore. You know, told the doctor, I said, doctor, you got to get me out of here. I said, I'm going downhill fast. And he looked pretty concerned. I said, my right side's fine, but you're beating it down. You know, I said, you know, it can carry the left side when I come in here, but I said, now the right side's being, it's deteriorating just laying here in bed. But I looked at the doctor and I said, doctor, I explained to him what I was feeling. I said, will this ever get better with therapy? And they didn't give me no therapy. They didn't. I had therapists come by, but and they talked to me, but when I got out, there was no therapy to give. They said no reason for therapy because you'll never get better. So I just wanted to know who was going to get the glory. That's why I ask. I intentionally ask, will I ever get better by working at it, by exercising or by this or that? They said, no, you'll never get better. Said, I'm not supposed to be thankful for what you have. I'm not supposed to be talking to you. You're supposed to be dead and or paralyzed. So he said, you've got it great. Well, we know that that's not my destiny. And anyway, well, I have gotten up to where I'm walking at a little over a half a mile a day now. And I couldn't walk across the room hardly, you know. And they said I wouldn't get better. But like I say, 2 weeks ago, I woke up speaking in tongues on a Sunday morning. Just the presence of the Lord in an awesome way there. And when I went in to shave, it's just like a, you know what a valve stem is on a car tire? It's like somebody just let the pressure out of these two fingers right here. Before, I couldn't move them up and down, but about like that right there, just that fast is all I could do. Now, look here, see. And boy, I rejoiced. I rejoiced. I said, God, I'll take it a finger at a time. I don't care how it happens. I'll take it however it comes. I know it belongs to me. It's mine because of what Jesus has done. And so anyway, well, God has been good to us, and I can do so much more than I could when I come home. The truth is the doctors didn't know because they never had anybody live through it or that wasn't paralyzed, so they didn't know if anybody improved or not, you know. But I know one thing, that with God's help, I'll see complete restoration. And I've not tried to drive but about a block, I guess, since it's happened, because I'm trying to be safe for other people. And but anyway, well, I played the bass guitar the first service we was home. Now, it was hard because it felt like my fingers was 2 inches around. It felt like I was, you know. But I played it when I cut these fingers off. These two middle fingers were cut off down by the joints. And I played the guitar when they was cut off with these two fingers. And I stabbed this hand right there, and it come out in the middle of my hand down there. And I played the bass guitar with it like that, with a bandage on it. And I said, well, if I can do it with that, I can do it. I just, listen, there's just not even needing giving up. See, there's not even needing quitting. There's not even needing being discouraged. Now, if I give in to some things, I would be like this here right now. I mean, that's more comfortable for me. But why would you give in? Why would you quit? I mean, I'm more apt to be healed than I am not to be. That's how I feel about it. I got a lot better chance of being restored than I have to stay like a, you know, in a mess. Why? Because of Jesus. He makes the difference, you see. And I want us to learn to be thankful. God wants us to be thankful. If we can't be thankful for what we have reached, then we ought to be thankful for what we've escaped. You know, for what we missed. Because the truth is, probably most of us have got a lot better than we deserve. Right? We probably got it a lot better than we deserve. You can't buy the mercy of God, and you can't earn it. You can't make God love you more by your good works. That was an upsetting truth, revelation to me. It upset me. It aggravated me. Because I thought by doing everything right, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, ought to buy me some audience with God. I thought, well, when the Lord spoke to me and said, I'll never love you more than when you was my enemy. That's kind of humiliating when you've been trying to do it all right so you could be a good child for God. Well, the thing is your works ain't going to buy one drop of blood of Jesus. All your good works is not worthy. It can't make God love you more, won't make God love you more. God is love, and that's what, and that's that. Nothing else is going to change. That's, He's love, and while you was His enemy, He died for you. And there's not any greater love that can be shown that a man lay down his life for his friend, and we was his enemy. So only God could show that love, right? See, so right off the bat, you can't earn His love. You can't earn it. It's freely given. It's like salvation. You can't earn salvation. It's freely given. So we all need to start our day with gratitude, thankfulness, and we need to end it with thankfulness. Kind words, they don't cost much, do they? But they can accomplish a lot. They can accomplish a lot, and it's so important that we have a heart to just give the Lord the glory and the honor and the praise, and get our eyes off our problems, start counting our blessings. There's not any need. I normally would rather not talk about. Had lots of people call. And they want to know the whole history, and I said, I'd rather not talk about me. Let's talk about something else. You know, how you been doing? Because I've told it 1,000 times, you know. And but anyway, well, there's God's good to us, and there's no doubt about that. So we just must get our eyes off our problems. I mean, you know, Satan comes along. When these fingers was cut off, he'd come along and he'd tell me, he'd say, "You're making a fool out of yourself." Because everybody I'd see, and they'd say, "What you do?" And I'd say, "I'll cut my fingers off." And I'd just pull them caps off and show them the end of the bone there, you know. And I said, but they're going to grow back. I'll have fingerprints and fingernails." "Oh, no, you won't. Nobody never had." I said, "Yeah, I will. Because I've asked God. I didn't ask man. I asked God. I'll have them back." Well, it took 6 months for them to grow, but they did grow back. I remember when I first had the first 16th of an inch of fingernail showed up. I was rejoicing. You know, of course, I was rejoicing, but every morning when I pulled them things off, I expected to see them complete then. But it took 6 months for them to grow. I don't care how long. Let me tell you, it's like anything else. If you don't start today, where are you going to be 10 years from now? You say, "Well, let's go. It might take me 10 years." Well, where will you be in 10 years if you don't start? You see? I mean, you might think your journey's long. I say it like this here. If you're in the middle of a pit of mud, you might have to wade through some more mud to get out. But at least you're headed out. Where are you going to be if you don't start? Right out there in the middle. I've seen so many people, they want help and they want deliverance. They want to be set free from things. But because they've been prayed for a few times and they don't see as much progress as they'd like, they cave in. They want to quit or this or that. And what they don't understand is, like I say, if you're out in the middle of a mud pit, when you start heading towards the bank, you've got to wade through mud. And you can look down and say, "Well, my goodness, I've still got mud on me." Yeah, but you're closer to the edge. You're closer to freedom than you were. You know, and the truth is that God gives us keys. He gave Peter keys to the kingdom, didn't He? And every one of us that has chains that binds us, we need a key. That's what we need. We need a key to unlock something and set us free. You know, I was talking about being grateful and being thankful. I heard a story about a lady that she locked her keys up in her car, and so she just prayed and said, "Lord, send me somebody to unlock my car." And so in a little while, just a little while, a man come up and said, You locked out, you need some help?" "Yeah, I need some help." And I mean, in just a little bit, he had it unlocked for her. She said, "Oh, you're a good man." And he said, "No, I'm not a good man." He said, "I just got out of prison for stealing cars." And she looked up and said, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me a professional." You know, there's always something to be thankful for. You can always find something to thank God for. And I'll tell you something. Everything that you ever got, everything I ever got from God, it come from it first come into our spirit. God does not, listen, He doesn't bypass your spirit. And the whole thing, the whole purpose of the cross was to bring us back into relationship with the Spirit. And I don't know, I may just speak one time, it doesn't matter to me in that sense, but if I would say this, I'm not here, I'm going to open up a can of worms probably, I'm not here to try to get people to heaven. I'm not here to try to get people to heaven. I'm here. Here's what the Scripture says. He gave in Ephesians 5, He gave gifts unto men, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. What for? To get people to heaven? No. For the perfecting of the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry. Huh? For the edifying of the body of Christ. God's got something He wants people to do right here. I said it a lot of times. I've said it from here, this pulpit, a lot of times. God don't want people in heaven. If He'd wanted them in heaven, it wouldn't have said, them which sleep shall God bring with Him. How about that? God's going to bring them back. Those that's laid the body down, them shall God He bring with Him. Listen, when He made man, where did He put him? In heaven? He put him in the earth. And man lost right standing, right fellowship with God. And Jesus come to restore what was lost. That's what we got to understand, is what was lost. Heaven wasn't lost. Adam didn't lose heaven. How many of you know that? Now, I know it might sound a little different than what you're used to hearing, but Adam didn't lose heaven. When he sinned, he didn't lose heaven. He wasn't waiting to go to heaven. Adam wasn't waiting and said, I'm just waiting for the Lord to come. No! He was in a place that God created. God put man where He wanted him, and He said, it's good, and it's very good. I like it. That's what God said. I like it. This is how it's supposed to be. Well, what was lost? The orderly arrangement, that cosmos, that world, that God had in mind when He created man, when Adam sinned, he got lost from that order. Okay, from that orderly arrangement. Now, Jesus come to restore or to redeem that which was lost. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? When did it get lost? When did it get lost? So you got to know what was lost, or you won't know what's found. If you don't know what got lost, you won't even know why men need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved to what? That's fair questions, ain't it? I'm the kind of guy, I like to know. I want to ask questions. See, I'm like the inquirer. You know, inquiring minds want to know. And I'm not afraid to ask, why? What needed to be lost, or what needed to be found? What needed to be saved? Why did I need to be saved? Oh, because of sin. Yeah, but what did we fall from? We talk about the fall of man. What did he fall from? He didn't fall out of a tree. He didn't fall out of the sky. What did he fall from? He fell from right relationship with the Father. You know that? He fell from walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. See, he was created in God's image and likeness, but God put him out of the garden. He was separated from the presence of God. And what did the redemption, what did Jesus come to do? He came to bring us back into right relationship with the Father. Is that not right? And you know what? The religious world out here, to them, that's not enough. Christ in them is not very good. I mean, they can't wait to get out of here. Christ in them is just a ticket. Listen, Christ in you is life itself. I mean, I don't know. I'm tired of seeing the Holy Spirit minimized in people's life. You know, that's like it's just something to use. Man, it's to introduce you, it's to acquaint you, it's to equip you. The Bible said, for the perfecting, that's the equipping. In the Greek, it literally means the equipping of the saints. That's what we're here for. Why? Because there's a whole order out here. There's a whole world. Do you know that? And I've said it a lot of times. God has never got to see what He created man for. Now that's heartbreaking. It is to me. When the Lord spoke that to me, I wept and cried. Brother Miller, I cried like a baby. Nobody thinks about God. God created man in His image and likeness. He created him for His glory and for His purpose. And all He done was sought out evil inventions and things of this nature. Look at the world out here and what it is now. God's never got to see what He created man for. Jesus didn't come to show us what God created man for. Jesus come to be a redeemer. Right? He come to restore. Now, what would we be right now if we'd never needed restored? If there'd never been sin? Wow, we can't even imagine it, can we? What creation would have been today had there been no sin? Jesus come to deal with the fall. He come to deal with the sin. And we're still dealing with the sin. I'm just showing you some pictures way on down the road for us. Listen, you've got a heritage that's great. This thing's awesome. You know, I'm not interested in going and dangling my feet in the river of life. I want to fulfill the purpose of God. Man, the kingdom of God's in me. It's in me. And if the kingdom's in me, I suspect the throne of God is in His kingdom. So let's let him rule. Let's let Him reign. And let's do more than that. He said to him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I've overcome, sit with my Father in His throne. Like I say, everything that I ever got, I got it from the Spirit. I got it. It come into my spirit. Our spirit produces, don't it? Our spirit produces. Our soul practices. And our body manifests. Our spirit produces the things from God. I mean, that's how, what does the Bible say? He that's joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So everything you get from God, it comes into your spirit. And our soul practices what God gives into our spirit. And our body manifests that. And, you know, now there's a lot of things to be done, but people can be doing, but that's just, you know, that's ministry. But as for being a child of God, you just stop and think about it a minute. There's nothing you can do to add to it, is there? We got a new grandbaby. And a child's born, and you know, it can't become any more of a child than what it is. Think about that a minute. Now, it can grow. It can mature. But it can't be any more related. It can't be any more of a child than what it is. You can't do anything about it. Once you've accepted Jesus and you become a child of God, you know, there's nothing left for you to do about becoming a child. Now, obviously, you know, there's a growing. But the growing is different than, you know, a lot of people's hooked up, they're still trying to become a child. They're trying to stay a child. They're just trying to stay worthy. You never was worthy to start with. Think about that. You know, guy told me, said, well, I failed 10,000 times. Why would God want to forgive me? I said, well, it didn't surprise Him when He forgave you the first time. He knew you was going to fail 10,000. So He forgave you then. I mean, you know, but you was willing to accept it. I said, what happened is the devil's crawled over on you and he's, you know, now he's pounding you. He's condemning you. First thing you know, people get to the place where they let the devil talk them out of their forgiveness. They let the devil talk them out of their strength. They let the devil talk them out of their deliverance. They let the devil talk them out of their victory. They can ask God to forgive them, but they can't forgive themselves no more. Anybody seen that? You may be experiencing that. That's His job. He does His job well. Don't be surprised that He does His work. See, I mean, people say, well, ain't you surprised that the devil does? I say, why would you be surprised? Why would you be surprised that you become, that you're attacked by the enemy? My goodness, if you go to war, why are you carrying a gun for? You say, well, I didn't think there's nobody out there that's going to shoot at me. Why are you carrying a gun for then? You just going to shoot an unarmed man? You know,
Why would you be surprised that the enemy does his job? That you attacked, or that you have emotions of self-pity, or all these demons that would come on you, that would try to tear you down. Why would you be surprised that these kind of thoughts come to you? I've said lots of times, I expect trouble in this sense. Listen, when God gives me something to do, I know there's going to be opposition. Don't be surprised. Well, I've been trying to do this for the Lord and everything's just come against me and seem like... Listen, you ought to have expected things to come against you. Why in the world do you need a light if there's not any darkness? I've had people say, would you pray for me? I get a job where everybody's a Christian. I said, you ought to want to go to the most sin-cursed place there is. That's where the light needs to be. See, people's not interested in shining the light, building the kingdom of God. They're interested in being comfortable for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants it to be real easy. We all want people to come to church and don't give us any trouble. That's the ones that need help. I told the pastor one time, because he was famous for just running everybody off and giving them any trouble, he just run them off. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, anybody can run a lion off with a lamb in his mouth. It takes a shepherd to kill the lion and save the lamb. It takes a shepherd. Anybody can just run people off. But I said, every time you run a family off, you got some, because you got a problem with a husband or a wife or something. And I said, and they, if they have children, you got innocent lambs that's lost also. They're gone too. I said, you know, it takes the wisdom of God. It takes a real shepherd to know how to deal with that enemy and save that person, save the lamb out of the mouth, and kill the lion. Just keep the people. Deal with the spirit. Keep the people. You know, that there's a lot of people who can just throw rocks at the enemy, drive the enemy off, but he takes the people with him. And so that's not what God's wanting. Like I say, no. When it comes time to become a child of God, you can't add nothing to that. If you get born again, you can't add anything to it. There are a lot of people that says, I need to get that down in my spirit. I need to get this down in my spirit. No, you don't. You need to get it out from your spirit into your soul. See, he's joined the Lord's one spirit. And see, we've been directed away from spiritual things so much that we've become so natural-minded that usually, when we see a circumstance, the first thing we think of is a natural solution. That's usually what we think of first, is a natural solution. But God wants us, I've said this so often, what does Jesus, remember when Jesus come to the tomb of Lazarus and they said, oh Lord, by now he stinketh. Natural solutions, just stay away from him, huh? Jesus didn't see like she saw. When Jesus said they got to be fed because they'll faint along the way. They said, well, what can we do? You know what they're thinking? Natural solution. And Jesus said, what you got? Set them down. You know what he was doing? You say, well, that was Jesus. No, that was Jesus, all right, but that was the Son of God. I said, a Son of God. Now, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, but we're begotten of him now, too. He's the first among many brethren. When that was written, he was the only one. But let me tell you something. He said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it does, it brings forth what? You say, well, a whole bunch of little Jesuses? No, there's only one Jesus. He'll always be the pattern son. He'll always be the elder son. But listen, don't think that that's being sacrilege, because God wants you to be a son also. Jesus is the one that said, the things that I do, the works that I do, you'll do, and greater than these. Jesus is the one that said that. The purpose of the sacrifice was to bring many sons to glory. See, people say, oh, I've had people say, I'm scared of you because that's sacrilege. I mean, you know, you way think too much of yourself. What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Because, well, I just want to be like Jesus. Well, who do you think you are? Why would you think that you could be like that? You know, why would you try to do that? Well, because that's what he died for. That's what he died for. He didn't die to get a few people to heaven so they could dance around a throne. He died so that you could be set in right relationship with Him, know Him as He is, and you could produce the life and manifest it in another dimension other than the spirit realm. You could produce and manifest it right here in this realm. I'm telling you something. We're a new species. We really are. We're a new species. The Bible said it like this. He said, the people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. And He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Well, what's so new about it? What's so new about it? Think about it a minute. What's so new about this? What's so new about... Listen, by the way, and I ain't got time to get into that, but a new creation is going to live in a new heaven and a new earth. They're going to live in a different world. See, we're not even designed to live in the old world with the fallen creation. Now, I'm not talking about going anywhere. Listen, what most people call heaven to start with is not heaven. That's just what religion teaches people. Now, I'm not trying to get mean or strong, but we got gates of pearl people talk about. We got street, they say streets, the Bible says street of gold, tree of life, river of life, all these things. They say, that's heaven. No, it ain't. Go back to Revelation chapter 21. It said, and I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Where? Out of heaven. It wasn't heaven. That's the city. It's not heaven. Now, your Bible reads that way too. You know, don't look at me like it's... I fell off of a rock or something. Like I said, it's your problem too. You have to deal with our lack of understanding and false teaching of the Babylonian system and things just like I have to. Because when you want to, if you want to know the truth is what's going to unlock some things for us. And so a lot of people's waiting for this thing. And what they're doing is they're missing a life with God now. That's what's so sad about it. You know, they're missing a life with God today. I told a story one time. I don't know if I've told it here or not, but about a little boy that he started kindergarten, and he really wanted to make his parents proud of him. So he asked an older kid to teach him something that he could bow his parents with, you know, that he could make them proud of him that day that he learned. So they said, 2 times 2 is 4. So anyway, well, when he's at the dinner table that night, well, he pipes up and says, 2 times 2 is 4. And they, wow, you know, I mean, this, they always suspected he was a budding genius, but now they really, really believe it, you know. And they're just bragging on him, carrying on, and he says, Daddy, what's a 2? And there's a lot of people that talk about a lot of things they really don't know anything about. And God would have us to humble ourselves, come to a place that we get our eyes on the things that God wants us to get our eyes on and keep our eyes on that. And the old saying, just chop the wood, let the chips fall where they will. Because what happens a lot of times is people's chopping the wood and they're trying to control where the chips fall. You know, you can't hard chop wood that way. Can't get much done. And you can't hardly, let me tell you something, you won't know how to walk with God in a way that God wants you to walk if you're always just waiting to get out of here. You got no incentive. You got no incentive. But I'm telling you something, the Scripture says that He has seated us with Him. It's not going to be. A lot of people are waiting to get seated. And they don't know. They don't understand the seating. And they don't know where heavenly places are. But He seated us with Him in heavenly places. Isn't it sad that you're seated with somebody you hardly ever hear. When he does talk, a lot of times people ain't sure it's him. Think about it. Well, I think it was the Lord. Well, I'm not sure, but I... Shame on us. You know, if Brother Glenn or if I call Sister Patty and hadn't talked to her in almost a year. And I know my voice sounded different. It's because of some of the things that I've been through. My voice sounded different, but you know what? I said, don't you know who this is? And she said, well, I'm going to take a guess. It's Brother Dale. All that time, and she still got it right. Isn't it a shame that when God speaks to us, we ain't sure? Don't that tell you something's missing? Something's wrong? That there's a whole lot of religion been piled and crammed into us along with this other stuff that we don't know the voice of God? We're seated with Him in heavenly places along with a whole lot of other people, and we don't see and we don't hear. But we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're supposed to live by the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Shame on us. We've missed it as far as the East is from West as a whole. As a whole. We've not been directed towards spiritual things. Matter of fact, when the Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God, you know what God is, don't you? How many knows what God is? God is a spirit. What is a kingdom? It's a domain or it's a realm, isn't it? Seek you first the realm of the Spirit. Very few people seek the realm of the Spirit. You know what they do? They seek to get things from the Spirit. They want things out of the Spirit realm. They want to reach their hand in behind the veil, so to speak, and pull something out. They don't seek the realm of the Spirit. They don't educate. I've said it right here probably. People will go to college for years and years to become get a master's degree at something or a doctor's degree at something. But God's people won't even educate themselves about the Spirit as a whole. God is able... Listen, I'm still the old school that believes that the Holy Spirit can talk to us. Matter of fact, if He don't, we're in trouble. The church will not be built without God talking to us. Do you know that? It won't be built. He said... Told Peter. He said, who do you say I am? He said, well, you're the Son of God. And what did He say? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father which is in heaven. Now you can skip because people just argue about this other stuff. And he says, but thou art Peter and all this, you know. But what I want you to see is this. He said, upon this rock. What is the rock? It's that flesh and blood has not revealed it, but my Father, which is in heaven. That's a rock. When God starts revealing things to us, that's a rock. He said, on this rock, I'll build my church. Well, let's see if that's true. Let's see if it happened. Peter's sitting in on the housetop, and what happens? The Spirit of God speaks to him. He has a vision. And you know what? It contradicts the law. And what did Peter say? Not so. Never has anything unclean or common. Kill and eat? But he had a word from God. He had a rhema. And what did he do? About that time? It hurt to do that. God says, there's some guys down there. You to go with them. Well, he finds out, just gather it up real quick. What was God doing? He's building His church on that rock. By flesh and blood, by the Spirit of God revealing. He revealed to Peter, and Peter goes into Cornelius' house, which was against the customs of the law. And he goes and he preaches, and while he's preaching, the Holy Ghost falls. You know what he's doing? Jesus is doing just exactly. He said, but my Father, which is from heaven, has revealed this to you. On this rock I'll build my church. God revealed something to Peter. He went down there and done what he was supposed to do, and the church started getting built. And you see it over and over and over in the Scriptures. And let me tell you something. They wrote down the things that God told them. But God, don't take me wrong. Please don't take me wrong. I study this Bible many hours a day. Normally, and I have not used very many tonight, but normally I'll use 20, 30 scriptures in a message. But let me tell you something. If all that you know and all that you have is a 2,000-year-old rhema, you got a problem. The same spirit that spoke to these guys and they wrote it down lives in you. It's not another spirit. And he's just as truthful today as he was then. And I'm not saying throw this away. I'm saying if that same spirit talks to you, it'll agree with this. But I want to tell you something. I've not yet went down to the car lot and I found in the Bible says buy a Ford or buy this piece of property. I ain't found it in there. But you know what? I have had God tell me what to do. We can be led by the Spirit even in natural things. Even in natural things. Listen, we have to be. See, that's what's scary is very few people are teaching people to be led by the Spirit, to know the voice of God. They don't even know the voice of their own father. You know, I knew the voice of my daddy. I started to do something or something like that. He'd say, Dale, man, you had my attention. Right there, my oldest son, he's alive today because he'd been taught to mine. He was starting to run across the street. I taught him. When I hollered at him or when I called his name, stop immediately. You turn around, you see what I want. You do that. I trained him. He's taking off running across the street and a car's coming. And I hollered, Nathan! And that car missed him about that far. Because he knew to obey. He knew the voice of his father. You know what? So often we get into trouble and don't know the voice of our Father. And He's told us, He spoke to us, and we didn't hear it. We thought it was our own mind. Well, I thought it was our own imagination. Or we thought it was even the devil's voice. Peter probably thought that was the devil that said, rise, kill, and eat. I mean, you know, he said, not so, Lord, but, I mean, you know, it's hard to think that God was going to go contrary to what he'd been telling everybody all this other time. But see, God had a meaning for it, didn't he? He had a reason for it. Now, what I'm simply saying is, isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that nobody's very shook up that they yet don't know the voice of the Father? And so we've got to find out what Paul said about it. Paul had a relationship with God. So we use his. We piggyback. Now, there's nothing wrong with us giving and you know, pouring our wine from vessel to vessel. But let's be sure you got some to pour. You know, always pouring it out of somebody else's vessel into yours, that ain't very good. I always ask people when they come for counsel, I say, have you talked to the Lord about this? Because they want, well, we need a word from the Lord. Have you talked to the Lord about it? Well, no. I said, well, why are you here? You want to use my relationship? You don't want one? You know, a lot of people think it's just too much work to develop a right so they can know the voice of their Father. I'm telling you, He's a good God. He's a loving God. It's a blast to talk to Him. Praying's not hard. If you pray. Now, if you beg, it's hard. That's what most people do, and they call it prayer. Prayer is communicating with the Father. That's what prayer is. True prayer, Paul said, pray without ceasing. It literally means don't quit communicating with God. Well, what happens when you communicate? It's not a one-way street. You ain't prayed till you heard God answer. What did he say when the church in the book of Revelation, he said, you're blind, you're wretched, you're miserable. You think you're rich, you don't have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're in this mess. You think you're a spiritual church, but you're wretched and miserable and blind. He said, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whose door was he knocking on? It wasn't the sinner out here at the bar. It was the churches. I'm telling you something. I'm more concerned with us sitting in here than I am out them out there right now. He's standing at the door knocking, trying to get the church to let him in. If any man will open. He said, if any man will hear my voice, the first thing that God's going to do is say, let me talk to you. And we won't even hear that. I want to talk to you. I want to sup with you. He said, if you open the door, I'll come in and I'll fellowship with you. I'll sup with you and you with me. That's a two-way street. I said, you've not supped with him. You've not fellowshiped. You've not prayed till you hear what he has to say. You know, I tell you what, when the Lord began to deal with me about that, it was the hardest thing in the world for me to sit and just listen. First thing, you know, you just fidget and you get bored and because you done said, you know you need to hear God. And you try to do it with your natural ears and your natural mind, so you start trying to imagine things and all this. And finally, you just, you know, I just tell you my experience. Finally, I say, well, Lord, I've tried. You know, I got to go. I talk to him, but you know what? It's kind of like people. A lot of people call prayer like listening to a radio. And they're the ones on the radio, and you know, they're sending it out, but they don't ever get it back in. You know, it's got to be a telephone conversation. You got to hear the other side too to pray. And I tell you what you do. What's been my experience is just find myself. You know, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wakes you up, first thing you do is he's saying, I want to talk to you. Will you open up? And I don't care. Sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it's an inconvenient time, even in the daytime. You know what he said? You hear him knocking. I want to come in. I want to sup with you. First thing you got to do is open the door. You got to make the time for it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And so many people know they're professionals at telling God what they need. But they're not professionals at hearing what the voice of the Lord has to say. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. And I tell you, if we'll tune our ear more to what God has to say, we'll stay out of more trouble than we'll get in. You know, I sitting up there at the hospital and everybody's telling me how blessed I was, and I didn't feel too blessed because, you know, this has happened to me. What do you mean blessed? You know, felt like took 8 blankets for 2 days before my left leg ever warmed up where it wasn't hurting from being so cold. And, you know, just the coldness, it's cold. You know, my left side's cold all the time. It's cold right now. And I said, what do you mean blessed? And the Lord allowed me to see. He said, I dealt with you over and over and over. You knew your blood pressure was high. You didn't change your diet. You didn't lose any weight. You didn't do anything about it. He'd have had to create a miracle against the laws of how he's created our body. In other words, he'd have had to violate his own natural laws to keep me going. Because I was violating them. That's kind of like you keep stepping off the roof and wanting God to catch you, and you keep falling, having a broken leg, and you know you want the Lord to heal you, and sooner or later you want him to violate the laws of gravity and just hold you while you just go out here and do what you want because you like it. You can't do that. You know, I told my wife, I said, I feel like the rich man of Lazarus, you know, but I'm the rich man. I said, go tell my brethren. I don't want them to come here. I don't want them to be in this place. Tell everybody. I said, man, if they got high blood pressure, take care of it. Change your diet. Lose some weight. You know, do what you need to do. You don't want to come here. I'll tell you what, when you put yourself in the hands of man, they own you. And I mean from the most small thing to the greatest thing. There is no privacy, there is no modesty that they care about. You belong to them. And if they want to, you know, stick you 100 times a day, they can do that too. Don't come here. Well, what I'm saying is, we're always wanting God to break His own laws that He's put into motion just so we can please ourselves. I'll give the example a lot of times. I said, look, if I bought a new car and the manual says put unleaded gas in it, 89 octane. I said, I don't like that. I don't want to use gas. I like Pepsi Cola. I'll put that in it. I'll just fill my car up with Pepsi. Well, I can do that. But you know what? It's going to malfunction. And you know what? I'm not going to be able to go back to the manufacturer and say, look, you built a sorry car. The motor blowed up and, you know, everything stopped up. It won't run. This is a lemon. I want to bring it back. Can't do that because you know what I've done? I violated the design. And you know what we're doing? A lot of times we're violating the design and we're wanting God to just give us a pass. And so I stood before our church and I asked their forgiveness to start with for this happening to me. Just asked their forgiveness because it shouldn't have happened. If I had took care of myself, this wouldn't have happened. But now that it did, kind of like the rich man, you know, go tell my brethren because they don't want to come here. They don't need this. I want to tell you something. I hadn't shared anything that I really wanted to share or thought I would. I want to just encourage you just a moment. When things is going wrong, and I've just come through some pretty tough situations. They want me to go have a stent put in. I said, one of my arteries is over 60% blocked. But like I say, I've pleased myself all this time. And I asked the doctor, I said, would you give me 60 days? I said, I have some alternative ways. I have another plan. I said, if you send me to be checked in 60 days and it's not, then I'll let you do what you will. But I won't give God a chance. You know. And I expect it to be open. That's my destiny. Like I say, I mean, we're children of God. And here's the thing. I can't do anything to be more of a child of God, but I can do something now that I am. You know, I can be a profitable son. I can be one who is grateful and thanks God for the life that He has given me. And but like I say, when things go wrong, I just want to share something just a minute. I want you to see the sovereignty of God. Sometimes we think that sometimes things pile up on us, don't they? It seems like you can't get rid of one situation and before you do, another one's jumped on it. And now, then you know, you're still dealing with this and now you got to deal with this and for that, pretty soon another one's on it. And if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged. You get oppressed. And you know what spirit it's of, but it still happens. And Satan wants to tell you, and he'll try to tell you that you're not going to win, that you're going to lose, that there's no way. I'm reminded of the scripture where God told Abraham he would have a son. Well, they didn't have one. So Sarah comes up with a plan. You know the story. It says, take Hagar, my handmaiden. And so Ishmael was born. Well, Ishmael's 4 years old when God shows up again. And he acts like nothing's ever happened. He starts talking again like he talked to Abraham before, you know, the last time he talked to him. Now, I mean, they've waited. They've done what they're supposed to do and hey, they didn't have one, so they gave up. Now they got Ishmael, he's 4 years old, and God's talking about him having a son, him and Sarah having a son. And, you know, I can imagine Abraham scratching his. God's too late. You know, I mean, life's happened. I've got a son. He said, oh, that Ishmael would live in your sight. I got a son. You know the story. He said, Sarah said, well, she's making fun of me and all that. So she sent Hagar and Ishmael out, or she wanted to, and she was complaining to Abraham, and Abraham said, do what you will. And so he sent her out. She sent her out. He lost something. He had to be willing to let go before he got Isaac. But now, I'm just coming real fast on this. He has Isaac. And there comes a time that God says, take thy son, thine only son, and I want you to go up to the mountain and sacrifice him. I mean, that's a pile-on. He loved Ishmael. Just because he had Isaac didn't make him not love Ishmael. But he had to let Ishmael go. Now God's saying, I want you to take the life of this one. You ever felt like everything God put in your hand seemed like all of a sudden it was being took away from you? You know, you had a family or this or that, and this is happening and that's happening, and people blame God for a lot of things. It's not God. About 99% of our problems we brought on ourselves. A disobedience or ignorance. You know, really, I mean, people just don't know. But anyway, what I want you to see here is when Abraham started to obey God. What, by the way, he said, me and the lads going yonder to worship. I taught last time I was here what worship, true worship is. Worship is laying down your life. Worship is giving everything that you own, everything you desire. God's looking for true worshipers. God's looking for somebody that loves Him so much that the very reason they live is to worship Him, is to give their life to Him. He said the lad and I is going yonder to worship, and he knew exactly what he's going to do. And he called it worship. That's scary, ain't it? You think about it. What he called worship was obedience. There ain't too many true worshipers a lot of times. See, worship's not just standing in church, lifting our hands, and call it worship service. No, that's not half of worship. That's part of it. But that ain't near all of worship. But anyway, he said, the lad and I, we're going yonder. So he raised his hand, and the angel of the Lord said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. What I want you to see here is the sovereignty of God. You're going to have to trust God somewhere. Why not start tonight? You're going to have to give something, your life to God. Why not start tonight? Because Abraham obeyed. They looked over there and they saw a ram caught in a thicket. Now you just think about this. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it literally means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. See, I didn't know. The Lord spoke to my wife on the way to the hospital. She was driving to Tulsa. They was life-flighting me to get me there faster and charged $12,500 to do it. And took them over 2 hours to get there, go 100 miles about. But I didn't know. My son was driving her, and she told me this all afterwards. I said, you rascal, I'd have walked out of their heel if you'd just told me. You know, all we need is a word from the Lord a lot of times. But anyway, she said she was crying, and she just laid her head back and said, God, I need a rhema now. I need a rhema. I've been teaching on man shall live by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. That's the only way we're going to live. She said, I need a rhema now. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, I am His healer and I am your peace. And that settled it. It was a done deal then. See, when God speaks, it's final. It's settled. There ain't no need. There's no more debate when God speaks. But anyway, well, she didn't tell me that till afterward. Well, I knew he was my healer, but, you know, I needed that word in season. But anyway, the Lord will provide. I want to just show you how well He provided. I can just see God many years before making certain that a certain seed fell in a certain place, so that, and seeing that this seed received just the right amount of rain, the right amount of sunshine, and things that a thicket would grow up there in a certain place. Think about this. I can just see God seeing to it and watching this ram from a lamb, being sure that there's no wild animals takes its life. See, this wasn't just it was an instant happening for Abraham. But all he that is already knew what he was going to do. He's already made provision for a thicket to be right there. Why did Abraham find that place? Is this all by chance? Why did that ram? Why? I mean, God had to make some things happen for this. The provision that God has made. You know, He had to cause the limbs to grow right in the right kind of configuration and everything. Because there's going to be a time that a ram was going to need to be caught. Right there in there. Going to be the sacrifice. When he was getting ready to slay his son, he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad." God had made a way. Like I said, you're going to have to trust God sometime. Why wait till you're in such a mess that you have to wade through a whole lot more mud to get out? When there's somebody that will reach their hand and help you, why not reach the hand? I've seen people, they ignore the hand and just try to struggle, and they flop around in the mire of life. If you're going to have to trust God sometime, why not tonight? Why not just look to Jesus? You know, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He provided so well for Abraham, didn't He? You know, we usually won't cross the river of commitment till God tells us what's on the other side. Ain't that true? But God didn't tell him, "You go on up there and I'll have a ram there for you." That ain't what He said. When He lifted His hand, He said, "Don't lay your hand on the lad. Now I know." He provided something. Like I say, He provided it well. And I want to tell you something. We're afraid of change. I know we are. I had a lot of time to sit and to think while I was sitting in that hospital bed. I said, "This bed belongs to somebody that's sick." I wasn't sick. You know, there's people who had brain surgery and all kinds of different things, and I was just sitting there, just I felt good, and I felt guilty for taking a bed. And because we had insurance, you know, well, they gave us all the best care in the world. There's a man in the next room that had brain surgery and didn't have any insurance, and they pushed him out of there just right after they did it. And you could tell he was sick. He was in bad shape, but the money. You know, so anyway, well, like I say, we're afraid of change. And I had a lot of time to think. You know, my world got small real quick, Brother Glenn, because, you know, we're building the campground and pastoring the church, and I was working on a house that we're selling, and we had moved, and we was getting ready to sell our other house, and I had all these things going. And now I can't walk from me to Brother Richard. I couldn't, you know, well, for a long time I had to cather. But then when I come home, I just kind of sit there and look at the wall or watch TV or something, you know. Because my eyes had gotten messed up. I couldn't read my computer to study hardly. And anyway, well, my world got small real quick. All of a sudden, I mean, I had all these things going, you know, got the truck out there loaded with tools and hey, just anything I wanted to do, I could just go do. And now I can't do anything. Just, I don't know if you all understand, but I mean, the realization come home all of a sudden, my world got so small, I didn't have, without the restoration of the Lord, I didn't really have any, I couldn't do what I'm doing right now, see. The Lord's improved me. But so, I did good to walk from the bedroom to the living room. And so, anyway, well, Satan really would try to talk to me and say, you're never going to, you know, you just must resign the church. You're not going to be able to do anything. You just must turn over the campground to someone else. You're finished. I'm telling you something. God's trustworthy. God's trustworthy. That's what I'm here to tell you tonight. God's trustworthy. You can lean on Him, and He ain't going to fall over. You can trust Him. I said trust Him. You know, how many knows what trust means? Do you know what commit means, to commit? Anybody know what it means to commit something? When you're committed? You know, God's already made provision long before you obeyed. It's like Abraham. He'd already made provision for the ram was there. I mean, that ram was full grown. It come to the place it's supposed to be. He'd made provision for the lambs to be that way. God had already made provision long before Abraham obeyed. You can trust God. Whatever He's telling you, you can believe Him. You can obey Him. He's just waiting for us to obey, isn't He? Just waiting for us to obey. So I will tell you something. Just keep pursuing. Keep pursuing. Keep seeking. Keep valuing your beloved, whom your heart tells you is the true life, the only true life. Keep pursuing it. Listen, His name is Jesus, isn't it? It says, you know, I'm my beloved, and He is mine. Ain't that what it says? And His banner over me is love. That's what it says. You know, let's get our eyes on Him. Let's rest in Him. People call and say, how you doing? I'd say, I'm just looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. There's, you know, no sad stories to tell. Why would you? Don't do it. You don't say what you see. You say what the Word of God says. Listen, you check with the Word of God to find out what your opinion is going to be about something. That's what you do. You know, you don't have no opinion of your own. You live by what the Word says. You walk by faith, not by sight. Praise the Lord. You know, resting in the Lord doesn't depend on your external circumstances, does it? It just don't depend on it. It depends on your relationship with the Lord. You've never committed till you can't help yourself. Think about it. You never committed that you can't help yourself. If I stood somebody up on this chair, and I said, lean back, I'll catch you. They lean away. They ain't committed nothing. They ain't committed till they can't pull themselves back up. Now they're committed to me to catch them. That's what commitment is. There's very few people knows what true commitment is. They talk about, I committed my life to the Lord. They ain't no more committed their life to the Lord than nothing. If He said, turn loose the lamb, is anyone else up there? You remember that story? Guy fell off the cliff and caught himself on a limb and said, help me, help me, help me. Is anybody up there? And finally, there was a voice said, I'm here. He said, help me. And he said, okay, turn loose the lamb. He said, is there anyone else up there? You know, he said, this is God. Well, God, help me. He said, turn loose the lamb. Is there anyone else? So you... commitment is to the point where when you have, Paul said that he's addicted. He couldn't help himself. Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. He said, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. He done lost his mind. You know, He was besotted with love for the Lord. Gladly give his life. That's what commitment is. Praise the Lord. I encourage you. He's trustworthy. You can commit yourself to him. You can do it. If it's God that's telling you to do something, he's already made provision to catch you. Whatever it is, he's made provision for you. Praise the Lord. What do we have our eyes on? Do we have our eyes on Jesus? Do we have our eyes on the Lord? What you set your eyes on, what you fill your eyes with, you'll fill your mind with. You can look at your problem or you can look at the solution. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. I'm not being religious. I'm telling you, I know from experience. I had 3 heart attacks several years ago. My wife and children was crying. When I come to, they was a begging God. I laid my hand over my wife and said, "We're not beggars, we're children. Don't beg God." Listen, we don't have to settle for crumbs. The dogs eat the crumbs. Right? We're children. We get to sit at the table. That's our heritage. We better know our right, or you know what happens? The enemy talks us out of it. He talks us right out of it, and we'll be happy. We'll just shout about crumbs. When he wants us to sit down and eat a good loaf. He wants us to sit down and eat a good loaf. I want to pray for you tonight. If there's anyone here that has a situation that you want to trust God for, you want to give it to the Lord, I'm telling you, he's trustworthy. I've seen God move, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. I've seen God move in impossible ways when you just give it to God. I'm not interested in being religious. I don't think, you know, Jesus come along and he didn't have a hallelujah service before he had Peter and James to follow him. He just walked along and said, "Follow me." It was a deliberate choice that they had to make. And I've often said we prostituted the gospel. We brought them in on a wave of emotion and they went out on another one. You know, caught them up in an emotion. I tell you what, every one of us here needs to decide either he's God or he's not. If he's God, he's worthy of our allegiance. If he's not, then he ain't worthy of nothing, is he? But I'm telling you, he's God. He's God. He's healed my body. We celebrated 35 years of marriage yesterday. One of our email addresses is Dale4Junie. I'm for. She's for me. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for all that God has done. They told me 30 some years ago, you'll be paralyzed and never walk again. I had 4 discs busted in my back. Forearm fell 30 some foot. I was a carpenter at Oral Roberts University. Crushed my back. I told 3 bone specialists, I said, "God will heal me." They laughed me to scorn. While they helped me out of my family helped me out of their office, they was laughing at me. God healed me. I wouldn't let them operate because God, I didn't need it. God healed me. You know, I'm telling you something. You can trust him. You can trust him. You say, "Well, it's so few and far between." It's just because so few and far between people trust him. You got to be willing to lose something to gain something. You know, most people's hanging on to this while they're trying to get a hold of God. They're trying to do it like this. If he don't, well then they got... That's doubt. He's faithful. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you. You made it so easy to pray because you paid such a great price to do it. You paid such a great price that we could come unto the Father.
Lord, I thank you for the power and the might of your Spirit. That is to usward who believe. It is to usward who believe. The same power that rose Christ from the dead. Oh my God, I pray that you touch in every situation here tonight. To those who would trust you, would give themselves to you. Lord, I pray that you deal with those who are afraid, that the spirit of fear would be bound. Lord, that that would be dealt with in people's lives. I ask, Father, that you minister of your mercy and your love. Let your anointing break every yoke. Lord, as we hold up, as we cast our care upon you, you care for us. Let us have confidence that you care for us. And you've made good provision for us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Lord, may we have a good night's rest. Let each one that's here be blessed and receive, Lord, from these meetings. That we prosper, Lord, that the kingdom of God would grow within us. Oh my God, let it grow and provide shelter for others. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.